It's Dan O'Donnell. It's The Difference, your weekly look at the intersection between politics, handled by me, and economics, handled by Dave Spano, the president and CEO of Annex Wealth Management. And this week, Dave, I can't remember a week where things just felt as bullish, yep. Where, you know, we were talking, it seems like what? 4 weeks ago, maybe 2 months ago, we were talking about, oh, the soft landing is here. I don't think there's going to be a landing. I think this plane is just never going to land.
Yeah, it could be a no landing, but there's no question that the bullish sentiment has taken over. And you, when you get too bullish, obviously there is the whole bee talk, the bubble talk. And you look at, for example, this week alone, you see some of these AI names continue just to go crazy. And, you know, we talked about the Magnificent Seven. It's really only the Magnificent Six because you got to take out Tesla, but we'll come back to that story in just a second. But those six companies, because of AI, continue to go crazy. This week alone, we saw Supermicrocomputers up 25% in just one day, on Monday, the day we're recording this. And that's because not only are they the backbone of AI, but they're getting added to the S&P 500 because of the capitalization of the company now. And because of that, all of these managers have to go and start adding that to their index and their indices. And also you see all of this crazy buying going on. And that's really what's happening right now. And, you know, there's fact that people have it in their 401ks. You know, most investors might have some type of S&P SPY in their portfolio. So all of this volume goes in and the buying just goes crazy. So that's what's happening. And of course, the thesis is bullish, Dan, for a lot of reasons. One is because it's a presidential election year. We can cover that. And the second, because the Fed is indicating at some point this year, most likely June, they're going to turn tail and start lowering interest rates.
At what point does that happen, right, though? I mean, you know, we've been talking about interest rates being lowered for at least 6 months, 8 months, possibly a year. And with the market still hitting highs, with inflation being a whole lot stickier, I think, than anybody wants to admit,
yep.
Can the Fed say in June, right? Can they just say, okay, well, inflation's still kind of sticking around at about 3.5%. Yes, we've got, you know, record high employment and all of this stuff. Can cutting rates be justified at that point?
Yeah. So this,
and then wouldn't inflation just go sky high the next 3 months?
You got it. You are absolutely right. You should be an economist. So a couple of things. Number one is the fact that, you know, when we talked about rate cuts, we talked about they were raising rates and they were going to get to their anchor weight, which is probably about 5.5%. That's what they got. And then we said we're going to pause. So as rate hikes, a pause, and then a pivot. That's what we've been talking about for 6 months. So we clearly have got the pause, right? The 8 rate hikes came, then we saw the pause. Now the pivot would be changing. But you are exactly right. If inflation does become anchored because of all of this spending and all of the market continues to go and job markets continue to be fruitful, then it becomes anchored or it comes back in a second wave. And if they lower interest rates and then you see another wave, then we're back to, you know, 1974, which they don't want to make that mistake. So they may leave rates where they are. And you asked, you know, what's going to happen? They're going to have to, they look backwards. They don't look forwards. Mm-hmm. They look backwards. And they're going to say, what are the facts and data and circumstances that we have at the next meeting, which is going to be not the March meeting, but the June meeting? And are we clear to do that? That's where the politics comes in. And they say, are they going to do that in front of an election? And most betting odds are that's what we're going to see.
Yeah, I can't shake
the feeling. You might be right.
Feeling.
You might be right. You might be right that the fact that they may not be able to do that because the stock
right.
market continues to go, unemployment still remains under 4%. Those two things, I mean, why would you put more stimulus in? And by the way, they're talking about tax cuts. I don't know if you've seen this, but this is making its way through Congress right now. That is fiscal stimulus. So if you have fiscal stimulus and monetary stimulus, while the market continues to do well and while the economy continues to do well and people have jobs, that creates an inflationary environment. So I do agree that they're going to have to look at this. If they get into political game and start doing this, that could be an issue. The flip side, Dan, is that they keep it too high for too long, and then we don't have a soft landing. We do have a recessionary environment in 2025. And right now, there's about a 30 to 40% chance that's what we're going to see.
Now, make no mistake. I mean, I'm the one who's been saying to what I believe to protect Biden and by some measure to protect Jerome Powell's own career, because President Trump has said that if he's elected, Powell is gonzo, even though Powell was actually first appointed by former President Trump during his first term, you would almost think that human nature kind of steps in. Obviously, the Biden administration, obviously everyone who wants to stop Trump from winning wants there to be rate cuts because that would boost the economy. We would see, I think, an explosion in the real estate market, which has been held down by the fact that everyone who got into a mortgage at 3% isn't going to want to sell their house and get into another mortgage at 7%. And what you're going to see, I think, is a huge, huge boost to the economy. But at the same time, does that overheat things? And then we're right back into the inflationary mess by September. You see what I'm saying?
And I agree with you. And that is a risk. The risk is that inflation comes in waves. So we saw the first wave. Obviously, that came from 9.5 down to 3, wherever it is right now. There could be a second wave that is happening right now. And then it could be an issue, right? Because now think about who that affects. And you and I have covered this story to some extent. But who does inflation hurt the most? It certainly helps asset prices, as you pointed out, real estate and equities. Who it hurts is those people who have to go buy in milk and cheese and bread and can't afford to do that. Those are the people who are getting smoked by higher prices, and that's not going away.
I want to switch gears a little bit because I think one of the more undercovered but bigger and more telling financial stories happened and almost nobody noticed. And this is sort of surprising because it seems every time Apple does something, the financial media just goes absolutely nuts. But Apple quietly announced that they're shutting down their development of an electric car and they're transferring everybody who is working on that to, what was it, augmented reality or AI or whatever else. They're putting all of their
eggs in. Is augmented reality, is that the press? Is that, oh no, they're talking about Apple. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay.
That's pretty good. That's a, hey, you should be doing a political talk show, Dave. That's good. I'm totally stealing that. No, but Apple, I mean, I can remember, boy, this has to be 8-9 years old that Apple announced that they were developing an electric car. Does this have, now this comes hot on the heels of the Biden administration basically telling U.S. automakers, okay, we're going to slow down on that. They're calling it an aggressive transfer to, you know, higher emission standards. Well, what it really is making it impossible to own a gas-guzzling car. It's essentially a forced transition to electric. Automakers have been saying, look, we don't have the infrastructure. We don't have the ability to mass produce these. And, oh, by the way, they're not selling. Outside of Tesla, electric vehicles are sitting on lots. The consumer isn't ready for them. Then you get a couple of weeks later, Apple saying, you know what? We're not even going to try to compete in Tesla's playground. So what do you make of all of this? Yeah. Is this Apple saying there's just not a market for more electric, is this?
Yeah. That's exactly what they're saying. They're saying that we can't make it work, you know, and they've looked at it, and that's what capitalism's all about. So they looked at it and said, this is not a government policy. The fact that we studied it and we just aren't seeing the demand for it, so we're going to take our losses on what we've done already and move to a different part of our market, which we can control our ROI. So yes, absolutely, that's what Apple's is doing. But more importantly, there's the conversation of EVs and where EVs are going and the fact that you won't be able to buy a gas-guzzling car. Well, guess what? I'm asking you, do you think that batteries and the move towards EV, that's a green move? I mean, mining?
No.
Is mining a green move? It isn't. And the people who are in that business are telling us that. This is not green. So what is the motivation to do all the EVs? I get it. Climate change is the argument. But why are we being forced to do that? Let the market determine that.
And I think the biggest issue in that market, Dave, is not necessarily the problem with the electric vehicle product itself. I mean, I think we all kind of understand that at some point, an electric vehicle just makes sense. Mm-hmm. I think the issue is that as of right now, even with Tesla's infrastructure of charging stations and, you know, the fast charging stations all over the place, let's say spring break's coming up and you want to drive the kids down to Disney World, right? Save some money on sky-high airline prices. How long is it going to take in an electric vehicle? And that presupposes that you're able to get a spot at a charger that there isn't a massive line. And speaking of spring break, I was in California last year. We actually drove down the Pacific Coast Highway from San Francisco all the way down to San Diego. You would see electric vehicle charging stations everywhere. Right. Dave, I'm telling you, every single station, not every single unit, but every single gas station that had a charging station had a Tesla sitting there being charged.
Yep.
I mean, those things are all over the place. Now imagine you're driving like a Chevy Volt or something like that. Where do you go to get it charged?
Yeah.
Chevy dealership?
Especially when you're outside of a metropolitan area.
Right. Like what happens? So until that issue is kind of resolved, and I think we're a ways out, I think we're also a ways out from electric vehicles being ubiquitous or even cornering more than a niche portion of the market.
But it doesn't have to be a binary decision. And that's really what I looked at and said, why do we have to go from one to the other? Isn't maybe a hybrid? Isn't there other forms that we can go? There's other answers other than going from all gas guzzling to all battery. The infrastructure isn't built yet, not only charging stations, but you think about who's coming, Volkswagen in coming into the business. They have the infrastructure that Tesla doesn't have. So are they going to start to mass produce, and are we going to have to start to watch that? But there's no question that this is going to be a long tail process, and this is not going to happen in the first couple of years as President Biden hoped that it would happen. But this is the reason why you go and you say, well, where's the opportunity set? And AI is an opportunity set right now, not only because companies are really starting to look at that and saying, is there some way that I can implement that into my company and make myself more efficient? That's what we're going to see. And this is just the front end of that, right? And that's why you're seeing the NVIDIAs and the Supermicros and the rest of these companies be part of this conversation. What happens if in a tool and die company or whatever, somebody who makes a product can be more efficient because of AI, can use some of these things? That's where you're going to really see an excellent point. And what does that do to the unemployment rate and the employment rate? These are big conversations. And here we are still at under 4% nationally, and in some places even lower than that on an unemployment rate. That is inflationary environment. So this is a tough spot the Federal Reserve is in. They've done a nice job on the things that they can control. What they can't control right now is the job market. Do they turn their ideas to the job market? Because you really need the unemployment rate to go up. And I know that sounds crazy, but does the Federal Reserve come out and say those words? We want unemployment to go up. Think about how unpopular that would be. But that's the way to control the inflationary environment.
Well, they can't obviously come out and say that, but what we have seen over the last couple of months in some of these underperforming tech stocks, I mean, remember, it's really just been the Magnificent Seven, or rather, Magnificent
Six. Well, it's starting to expand. It's starting to expand. We're starting to see some of these other 493 participate, which is a good thing, but there's no question that the mass media, we started to call it Magnificent Seven. As you just said, it's probably just the Six, but it has started to expand. So that is the reason why you have to look at it, especially with bonds. Where are people going with bond rates right now? And what happened to the bond vigilantes? We'll have to cover that on another podcast. But they have disappeared. And so there's a lot of moving parts right now. You just can't go all chips to the middle of the table.
No, you can't, especially when, you know, it is so difficult to predict what is going to be the next super microcomputer or NVIDIA. I mean, we think we have a pretty good idea on what the technology of the future is, but just look at, EV to me, Dave, is something of a warning sign. Yep. Because what were we told from about 2018 on? That within 5 years, within 10 years, every vehicle is going to be EV. Every vehicle is going to be self-driving. When's the last time you heard about self-driving innovation or self-driving become more ubiquitous than it is? You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
We have no idea. I mean, we understand that in terms of broader societal trends, yes, artificial intelligence is here. In Google's case, artificial intelligence is woke. And did you see ChatGPT?
Yeah.
Well,
yes.
Google. Did you see ChatGPT, which is now called Sidekick or Copilot?
Right. Copilot.
Apparently, you can give Copilot a prompt, and it will assume like godlike reverence. It will say, "You must worship me as your god." Now, of course, you're giving it a prompt to say, "Should I worship you as a god?" Little unnerving for those of us who grew up with The Matrix and Terminator 2's Skynet and whatnot. But we understand that these technologies are the future, but is the future here yet? This is why you need someone to take a look at your portfolio. Are you positioned for the long-term future? Are you positioned for the short-term future? Get a free portfolio review. It's called the Wealth Metric. You can get it exclusively at annexwealth.com. He's Dave Spano, President and CEO of Annex. I'm Dan O'Donnell. Thanks for listening to this week's edition of The Difference.
Annex Wealth Management is a registered investment advisor. For more information about our firm, please visit annexwealth.com. The information in this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only and is subject to change without notice. Opinions expressed are those of the participants and don't necessarily reflect those of Annex Wealth Management, its producers, hosts, or guests. The host of this podcast is compensated for his endorsement of Annex Wealth Management. Information presented should not be considered as tax, legal, or investment advice or recommendation or solicitation for the sale of any product or strategy. Listeners are encouraged to seek advice from qualified professionals to determine whether any information presented may be suitable for their specific situation. Investments involve risks. Neither Annex Wealth Management nor its podcast participants shall be liable for losses resulting from decisions based on information or viewpoints presented on this podcast.